I can replace the concept of absolute truth with whatever promotes life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing and the University of Philosophy here in Campo, California. I can replace the concept of absolute truth with whatever promotes life. What does it mean, the absolute truth, the concept of absolute truth? Truth is something that is defined and can be defined as that which is. And that which is never changing. That which is eternal and absolute. Now, I can replace the concept of truth with whatever promotes life. Now, what is it in absolute that would promote life? What is it in absolute that would promote the realization of the eternality, the immortality, the existence, which we like to call life? What is it that that is? What is this life that is all-pervading? What is this life that is absolute, that is beyond the conscious senses, and we call that truth? We call that that which is. We call it that which will always be. We have a way of speaking these words. We've done it historically. We've done it through every Bible that's ever been written, through every philosopher who's ever opened his mouth, through every theologian who has ever sought the unknown from the books that are put down. Theologians are those who take the Bibles of their own culture, the Bible that they believe in, and study it within a gnat's eyebrow, coming to the tiniest little thought that it might reveal to them, to the grandest, most pervasive thought that might ever come across their mind. These theologians are dedicated people. They're sincere people. They're people who really want to know. But they want to know like the scientists want to know. They want to know truth. They want to know the eternal truth. And scientists, they want to know truth too, and they want to know it through knowledge or wisdom, basically knowledge. Scientists want to know truth through knowledge, and they have presumptions that they say, and that's the most interesting word, presumption. Presumptive means to think that it is so before you think about it. And so a presumptive thought that scientists have is that something is or is not. It can be either way, like in a good debate. A good debater can debate intelligently and wisely and powerfully in either direction. It makes no matter to the debate what the fact is. It makes no matter to the debater whether he is debating what he would not normally believe in or what he would normally believe in. It merely is the condition of debating. The condition of debating is to build up all of the possible reasons why, all of the possible reasons that it could be, all of the possible reasons that it is, all the possible reasons that you believe in it, without one negative thought. If a debater does not believe in his point in the debate, he loses. If the debater recognizes the validity of the other person's debate, opposing his point of view, he loses his point. He is invalid. Now, is the debater debating truth or falseness? Is the debater honorable or dishonorable? The debater is merely following the principle of debate. The debater is merely following the principle of debate. The scientist is merely following the principle of science. The more knowledge that you amass, the more you can prove your point. The theologian, he says, the more I can compound the theories that profess what I understand as being there to be professed, the more I can show the world that this is a valid thing to do and something that we should follow. Now, in truth, Those in the world who are the least effective are the theologians and the philosophers, because in truth they are not good debaters. Or are they good debaters? Are they going after their point of view, whichever comes to their mind, and they support their point of view with all their heart and all their soul and all their being, and they come up with some proofs, some belief, some concept, some conviction, and then they expect others to accept whatever they have researched, whatever they have convicted themselves of, as the truth. Now, this doesn't always work. This doesn't always work. And the reason it doesn't always work is that you cannot replace the concept of absolute truth with whatever promotes it. Because what you're doing is you are coming to a conclusion that your finite, limited understanding can never begin to comprehend. What can we do? And this is a good question. What can we replace absolute truth with? Well, we can't. Number one, the concept of absolute truth exists and it stands. So rather than thinking of replacing it or understanding it, we begin to open ourselves to allowing it that it is, that it does exist, and that we can enjoy it. And how do we go about enjoying it? In working with people in treatment as a practitioner, they come with many maladies, many problems, and they say, "What can I do? What can I do?" And I say to them, "All right, you can say, I no longer have my broken leg. My leg is no longer broken. My leg is no longer broken. I no longer have my broken leg. I no longer have my broken leg." And that might be the desire of their heart. However, so long as they persist in thinking about their broken leg and thinking about it in being irreparable, they have an irreparable broken leg. Their leg will never be whole and perfect. It has no capacity to rise out of whatever it is that they have put in mind for it. They say, "I am poor, I am sick, I have these problems." This is what humanity likes to say for itself. And because it likes to say these things for itself, what happens? It experiences just that. Now, how do we get to the next stage? How do we get away from those experiences which had limited us? How can I replace the concept of absolute truth with whatever promotes life? Well, in the first place, let's get away from the idea of trying to replace or understand that which we don't understand. Can we understand any of these great philosophical points? Not too well. So what we do instead is we say, the divine within me knows what to do, and it does it. The divine within, this universal intelligence, this universal absolute truth that's in me, knows what to do, and I let it do it. This universal absolute, which I say is so great, let's take a moment and play with that word. This universal God, that's another word for absolute. This universal God in me knows what to do. Well, now, do we find that so ludicrous? Not at all. We find that very harmonious, very salubrious, very health-giving, very proper, and that's okay. Does God in us know what to do? Does our Father know what to do? Our Mother? Does the person who is our love, does the person who is important to us know what to do? Yes, they do. They know exactly what to do, and they do it so well and so beautifully because it is right and just that they should know them. They, as the saying goes, are older and wiser. Now, we have that same older, wiser wisdom in us. We have that same capacity within us. The wisdom that our parents did not show at their innocence when they were young is now showing by them. They always had that wisdom in it. It was not something added to them from the outside. It was not something that they developed. They merely revealed it and let it come forth. This is what we can do too. We can right now allow this inner wisdom, this inner genius that we are, let this shine forth and be who we are in our life. And as we do that, we have a great experience of awareness of the wonder and the magic of who we are. It's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a very revealing thing to let go and let God. Let's say, let go and let the Absolute. My goodness, that sounds very impersonal. Well, in truth, if we were to say let go and let God, that too would sound very impersonal. Let go and let Absolute. Let go and let Daddy. Let go and let Mommy do it. Let go and let the world do it. Well, do we really want to say that? Rather, we want to say, I am the Absolute. And we cannot deny that that is true, because the Absolute is all. I am God. We cannot deny that, because God is all. Now, our question at this point, with the concept of Absolute Truth, when are we going to express this Absolute Truth? When are we going to acknowledge this Absolute Truth is who we are? When are we going to acknowledge that that is our inner, not potential, but our inner reality? When are we going to unveil it? It's there. When are we going to dust it off and put it to work? We might have a garage full of lovely cars, and we love to walk, so we never use the cars. And someone comes along and says, hey, what do you got a garage for? I never see you drive. Oh, I keep my cars there. Your cars? I never see you drive. Let's see your cars. So you open the door, and the bats fly out, and you go into your garage and turn on the light, and you see dust lying on top of all your vehicles. And your guest says, my goodness, what a bunch of dirty old cars. And you say, that's true. That's true. There's a bunch of dirty old cars. They're just not used. And so then you have your garage man and your chauffeur come in, and you say to them, garage man and chauffeur, what? Well, what the heck? If you can have a garage full of cars, you can certainly have a garage man and chauffeur. And you say, boys and girls, please go in and polish those cars within an inch of their life. Make them shine and clean up that garage and make that garage look like I use it once in a while, even though I may not. And so, a week later, your friend comes back and he says, hey, how you doing? And you say, fine. What have you been out in your car? I haven't seen you with your cars. Oh, no, no. But come, I'll show them to you. So, you open the garage door, and it's like entering a jewel treasure chest. All of the sparkling paint shining forth, all the light so brightly illuminating the cars. They look glorious and grand and wonderful. And they're all pristine, everything in perfect working shape. Every engine tuned, every seat dusted, everything functioning perfectly. And your friend says, hey, that's cool. That's really nice. But why don't you use them? And you say, well, I'd rather walk. Hey, you can walk too. Drive them off to some meadow, and then you can walk across the meadow. Drive down to the sea, and you can go swimming, and you can do those things. Let it be part of your lifestyle, because it's part of your reality. You own them. They're yours, and they're glorious, by goodness sake. And you have a chauffeur and everything to drive you around if you want to. And you say to yourself, I have never used them. I have never used them. They're in me all this time, and I've never used them. I've owned them. And in fact, when the newer models come out, I buy the newer models. But I never drive them. Well, this is true for each of us. We have this inner wisdom within us. We have this absolute truth within us, and it says, hey, why don't you use me? Why do you struggle with the idea that you can't, or that it doesn't work, or that you're limited? Why do you struggle with that? You're not limited. You're all. You're the isness. You're the endness. You're the wonderful quality of all in the universe. Hey, you got a garage full of cars as lovely as can be. Take them for a ride. And so the day comes, and you get in one of your cars, and you drive it yourself, and you have a great time. You drive all over the countryside, and you feel just wonderful. And then the next day comes, and you say, I think I'll have a chauffeur drive me. I've got him anyhow. So you have your chauffeur drive you. He's all dressed up nettily, and you are all ready to take your ride. And you get in the back seat of the car, and the chauffeur says, where to? And you say, anywhere at all. Just take me to a lovely, quiet, peaceful drive, and let me enjoy my car. And so the chauffeur turns on your favorite classical music, sweet melodies that flow through the car. And you sit in the back seat, being driven by your chauffeur out to some lovely place he has in mind. And he takes you to the mountaintop. And he says, take a look there. And you get out of the car, breathe in deep, and you look around and see the vast world below the mountain. Then you get back in the car, and he drives you to the desert. And you look out, and you see the desert, pristine, beautiful, wonderful, a glorious place. He drives you to the great forest and lets you see the trees. He drives you to the ocean and takes your car aboard a ferry and takes it out across the Wood Bay. He drives you many, many places. And you are always in this music that is playing forever in your mind. You are always in this lovely thought. You are in absolute truth. You are in absolute peace, harmony, love, joy, right action. And you say to yourself, why haven't I done this before? Why haven't I, so long as I'm in this human body, living in this human world, aware of absolute truth, aware of my garage filled with lovely vehicles to take me to the desert, to the sea, to the mountains, to the to the forest, wherever I want to be, to the cities. Take me to the opera. Take me to whatever delights my heart. Take me to visit friends. Why have I not used them? Yes, I can walk, and I can enjoy that. And I will walk, and I will enjoy that. But I'll also enlarge my horizon vastly more wonderfully. And the day may come that I get into my jet airplane and fly where I wish, or my rocket ship and fly where I wish, or my mind and be where I wish. This is what absolute truth is all about. Living in the now, enjoying in the now all that life has to give to us, because that's what life is. And all is in divine order, makes everything functional, beautiful. My garage man and my chauffeur polish the cars. I drive the countryside, I drive the world. I am at peace. Pipe dream, fool's paradise, Pollyanna, no. That's reality. When I wake up to it, I experience it. When I deny it, I still experience it, but I'm not aware that I experience it. So from this day forward, I am aware, and I love it. Just like I love each one of you. Have a lovely day. I love you. I love you. I love you.